Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Everybody and welcome. I'm your host, Christine KFC. This is Soul Inspirations Radio, where the music, magic, and message always counts. Each week, you'll get a glimpse into the creative minds and imagination, some of the most talented musical artists in the world. Hopefully, something sparks your own creativity and inspires you. I'm super psyched about tonight's guest, nationally acclaimed singer-songwriter, my girl, Leslie DiNicola. I had the privilege of seeing Leslie perform recently in both Illinois and Ohio, where she was opening for John Wei on his Wooden Heart acoustic tour. Leslie's worked with some of the most respected Grammy-winning industry professionals out there. And what I like about Leslie's voice, I guess I describe it, it's both gritty and strong, yet shy and delicate. And her songs, I would say, they're kind of like an emotional tapestry, and they weave together beautiful, heartfelt lyrics, as well as just some really great melodies. She just released her new single, Boy and Girl, and she's adored by fans all over the world. So let's go ahead and welcome Leslie to the show. Hey, Leslie, welcome, and happy, first of all, happy National Day of Prayer and happy Cinco de Mayo.
Well, thank you so much. Right back at you.
Hey. So how are you tonight? What's going on in Leslie DiNicola's world?
Oh, wow. Well, Leslie DiNicola just dodged a thunderstorm and got back to her little Manhattan apartment in time for this radio call. It's a dark and gloomy day here in the Northeast, but I'm very happy to have a nice glass of wine and be on the phone with you.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you about your beverage of choice because it is Cinco de Mayo and everybody celebrates. You've got your wine, I've got my margarita. How's that sound?
Perfect. I'm a little jealous. I was fresh out of tequila when I looked in my pantry, but I made do.
Okay, great. So this is going to be a really good conversation.
Oh, I hope so. We'll see.
So let's get started. I want to let everybody know. So you're currently on tour with John Wei, and it's this Wooden Heart acoustic tour. So how cool is it to be touring with John Wei? He's amazing. And how in the heck did that happen?
Oh, it's such a gift. I've been a fan since I was a little girl, so when I was told that my next tour would be opening for him, I kind of had a little bit of a freak out moment. I jumped up on my bed. I'm in my 30s, but I jumped on my bed.
Right.
It was just such a joy to be out on the road with him. He's such a wonderful artist, but a really incredible human being as well. I mean, he's so warm, so kind, so generous. It was one of the best tours I've ever been out on. He just made it so easy. You know, when you're with an artist like that, you get to actually enjoy the whole experience rather than feel like you're working really hard and going through something that's pretty difficult, which sometimes being out on the road can feel that way.
Right. What would you say you're learning from him? I mean, he's been around for a long time. There's so much to learn from him.
A true professional, you know, just seeing someone like that work his craft night after night, I really had an opportunity to reconnect with how joyful this experience really is. How, you know, I got into music because it was such a passion for me, and being able to connect with people through music is so important to me. And it's really easy to lose sight of that in this industry, even though it's something I really value and I try to remind myself of it all the time. You can lose track of it. And being out on the road with him, he reminded me every day what a joyful gift this really is, to be able to do this.
Well, how cool. And what a nice thing. What a nice thing to say. Also notice, so I met you, like I said in my intro, I met you in Illinois, and then I went on to see you in Ohio. And your songs, you did a few covers, and you also did a few originals. You sang Dolly Parton's Jolene, which I absolutely love. Do you like country music, or tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I grew up moving all over the country, and I have to say the majority of my childhood did take place in various southern towns. So mm-hmm. I did grow up with country music, and it definitely has a very strong place in my heart. I feel like it's the little sister I've always been running away from. I keep trying to be, you know, a little more pop, a little more rock, a little more R&B. I keep trying to, like, bring in all these other genres, but no matter what I do, every mm-hmm. time I go in the studio, everyone I work with looks at me and is like, yep, you're a country girl at heart. It's okay. Embrace it.
Hey,
so, yeah, she's a part of my heart for sure, and I love it.
Nothing wrong with being a country girl, okay.
Not at all.
Another cover you do on John's tour is that I really loved that you did. It was Separate Ways by Journey. Mm. And it's such a delicate, I guess, way that you perform that. I mean, I loved it. And my question is, so is there a method to your madness about how you pick which cover songs you're going to do? Because I read somewhere you have something called a campfire test. And that
you
it's
have
like
a campfire
eating,
test.
Uh-huh, and that the song has to be the one you want to go home with. So tell me about that.
Well, it's funny. When it comes to covers or original music, it still has to pass the test. I do have this thing where I'll sit down with a song. You know, we do it all the time. We're listening to the radio. We hear a song. We want to cover it. We want to sing it ourselves. And a lot of times you'll sit down and just pick up an acoustic guitar or sit at the piano and you'll play it and you'll realize that what made the song special is more the production or the great beat or something other than the bare bones of the melody and lyrics. And if it fails to pass that test, if you can't sit around a campfire and play it and everyone wants to sing along, then it's really not worth covering or releasing as your own work. So that is definitely a test I put all songs through before I'll record them or perform them or anything.
Right, right. And now your most recent EP, it's Wake Up, it's titled, mm-hmm. and actually has a song called Wake Up on the EP. Tell us a little bit about that and how, you know, what inspired that. Because I think, so that's an EP of all originals, right?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, I released Wake Up, I believe in 2014, in November of mm-hmm. 2014. And I began recording it. It was my third original release, and I was definitely changing as an artist. I had found my team, and I found a producer and an engineer and a drummer that I loved working with, and it was our third collaboration together. And being in that kind of environment where you finally found your partners and you feel very comfortable expressing with them and they know what you're trying to do, I just had this very unique and valuable opportunity to just dive very deeply into my hopes and desires as an artist. And I got to really experiment and play around in ways I hadn't been able to before. We played a lot with production and a lot with vocal layering, and being able to express yourself that way made me a little bit more vulnerable in my lyrical expression, which was also very valuable. And those songs were all coming from a place of who I was at that moment. I think all of my songs are really just a reflection of in a particular time in my life. And for that album, I was a young woman who was kind of discovering a new layer of herself and was very much opening up a portal to a transition that was taking place. And I'm not sure who I was in that moment knew where that transition was taking me. And these songs were very much coming from a place of wonder and excitement and fear and hope.
Mm-hmm. All at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Very, very okay. Easy transition.
Okay, so you mentioned, you know, that you were working with some people on that EP. Mm-hmm. So was it the one prior to that, the Some Greener Yard? I know you were working with Julian Coryell on that?
Yes.
Or,
yep, it was the exact same team. It was Julian Coryell producing. Eric Goebel was our engineer, and Mark Shulman played drums on the majority of the tracks of Wake Up, and he did do some guest spots on Some Greener Yard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there's one song on the Wake Up EP that I truly love. We're going to play a little bit later on in the show, but it's called Keep Your Light, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But just want to talk about, so let's go back a little bit further prior to Some Greener Yard. You actually did an entire EP called Draw Back Your Bow, and that was entirely cover songs, right?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that was my first collaboration with Julian Coryell and Eric Goebel. I had just met them. They're out in L.A., and I'm a New York artist. So we were connected through some mutual friends, a band called October Project, who are wonderful people. And they've been incredible mentors to me since I moved to Manhattan and started pursuing music. So they introduced me, and I flew out to L.A. to meet them. And I wasn't really sure. I had released an EP prior to it, and it was my first. And I've been singing since I was a kid, so I knew it's what I wanted to do. But as a songwriter, I was still discovering myself. I didn't really know who I was or what my voice was. So when I released my first EP, I was so excited to finish it. And when I got the master, I ran home and I put it on my CD player, which still existed in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening to it for the first time. And instead of being excited, my first thought was, oh, my God, I forgot to sing. I was so focused on just, like, writing a decent song that the whole concept escaped me, and I was not disappointed in the project. I was so proud of it, but I knew I was capable of more. So I immediately wanted to work on something else, and I thought that the best thing I could possibly do to push through this barrier was to do an album of covers because, you know, the work is done for you to a certain degree, and all I had to do was...
Mm-hmm.
imagine and be creative and put my own personal spin on these incredible songs. So I went out to LA and I met Julian and Eric and just connected with them immediately. And together we picked the five songs that we ended up covering out of a list of like 30. I remember showing up to the studio the first day and I was like, yeah, I've got a few ideas. And they both were like, okay, we're going to need to whittle this down. We have 7 days.
Right.
So
and I know
it was really fun.
Yeah, I noticed one of those songs on that EP was Cupid, Draw Back Your Bow. And that ties into your love of, I guess, old 50s, 60s type tunes?
Oh, absolutely. I know it's probably not obvious on my record, but the people who taught me how to sing as a little girl were Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Roy Orbison, Solomon Burke. I used to steal the records out of my dad's closet and play them in my room and sing along, and that's where I, you know, taught myself
Great.
How to use my instrument was singing along with those guys, so they're very much a part of my heart.
Right. Well, in talking about your instrument, so I also understand that, so you were 10 years old, and your very first audition was kind of a fluke. Tell us about it.
Well, that was
a crazy story.
My parents are wonderful people, but they are businessmen. They grew up in retail, and they're both tone deaf. So me being a singer and an artist, I like to paint, I like to draw, I was kind of an anomaly in my family.
Right.
They didn't really know what to do with me. They kept signing me up for ballet and baseball, and I was like, I just want to sing and draw. So there were some growing pains along the way, but we had a wonderful next-door neighbor when we were living in Atlanta who was driving me home from school one day, and Van Morrison came on the radio, and sitting in the back seat, I started singing along. You know, I was 9 years old at the time, and she just slammed on the accelerator and, like, hauled Bud into our neighborhood, pulled into the driveway, slammed on the brakes, it stormed in the house, and was like, where's your mother? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble for singing along with the radio. What did I do wrong? So she comes in, and she's like, do you have any idea that you have a singer? And my mom's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, she sings all the time, but I don't drown her out, you know? I'm doing the dishes. I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the first person to really bring attention to my singing, and my mom realized, you know, oh, you're right, I should probably do something about this. So we
mm-hmm.
were in the middle of moving to Seattle, and when we got there, she promised me as soon as we got settled, she would find a choir for me to join. And that's exactly what she did. But I have this feeling that she just, like, opened the phone book and flipped to the first choir that she found. Because she ended up dragging me to the Northwest Girls Choir, which is one of the most prestigious choral programs in the country. So So I was like 10 years old. I like singing along with the radio, and I walk into this audition, and they're like, okay, here's a blank piece of paper. We're going to need you to sight read that. Just do solfege if you feel comfortable. Then we're going to do a 30-minute interview, and then we're going to need you to perform your prepared piece. And I was like, huh?
Okay.
What are you talking about? So I stumble through the sight singing. I have no idea what I'm doing. And then I go into the interview. I'm so shy. I probably said 5 words. I look like a little turtle, like sticking her head out. And then I go in for the prepared piece, and I sang A Christmas Carol. That's the only thing I could think of off the top of my head. And somehow, I don't know how to this day, they ended up taking me into the program. And they did put me, you know, with the little kids to learn sight reading for 6 months. And then once I learned a little bit of music theory, they moved me up to my own age group. But that really laid the foundation for my singing. Being trained classically that way was just the most incredible experience, and I think it has definitely shaped me as a songwriter for sure.
Wow, how awesome. And so I guess you stayed with them for several years and continued being classically trained.
We only lived in Seattle for about 3 years, so I did stay with them for those 3 years, and then we moved to Texas. And we did make sure that we found a public school system that had a very competitive choir program, which we did. And I was able to continue my training there. I began studying opera, and then I went to college and just snuck into rock clubs all the time and said that's what I wanted to do.
Of course, didn't we all, right? Okay, so I want to go into, so you have a new single that's out now, right?
I do.
Boy and Girl? Okay.
It is called Boy and Girl.
Yes, it is. I love it. You, I think you did sing it. Did you sing it? Are you singing it during the tour?
I absolutely did.
Yeah. Okay. And so tell us a little bit about that. I'm not sure if I remember what the story is. And then after you tell us about it, we'll go ahead and play it.
Okay, great. It's a really happy story. I was in a relationship for a very long time, and this new record that I'm working on is certainly colored by the experiences that I have had ending that relationship and moving on and starting again. And, you know, this song is about the parts of me that, even though I was sharing my life with another person for almost 7 years, I felt very lonely, and I felt very I didn't feel like there was anyone else sharing my life with me. And this song is really about the desire and hope to experience that type of support and comfort and connection with another human being, to actually be able to not just cohabitate, but to really connect with another human the way that I think we all just on a basic level need to.
Yes. We yearn for it. I think it's an innate thing that I think we all want, actually, whether we admit it or not. I think we're created as humans. So, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to Boy and Girl by Leslie DiNicola.
From the side of this world, I reach out to you. Am I do you see me too? I've walked so long on broken shells. I lost the feeling when I fell. I waited for so long, it seemed, to realize a distant dream. A tiny taste of the sweetest cream is all I'm asking for. From this moment
is so smooth and flowing. Those are the words that come to mind when I hear you sing. I bet you hear that all the time,
you.
Right?
Don't get tired of it.
No, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because you're gonna be hearing it for a long time. Your voice really reminds me of one of my favorite female artists, and her name's Alison Krauss. And her voice, it's so angelic and controlled, and not only really in just how her voice sounds, but I guess in the way, the poetic storytelling way that she kind of captivates and draws in her audience. So have you ever met her? I'm sure would you like to meet her?
Well, would I like to meet her is an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
I would just love to. She is one of my favorite female artists. She's, in my mind, one of the greatest singers living right now. I think she's incredible. And I did get to see her perform once with James Taylor here in New York City at Carnegie Hall, and that mm-hmm. was just such a gift. It was very shortly after the Raising Sand album came out, and they performed together. And it was so wonderful to see James Taylor introduce her to the stage to sing a few songs with him, and his admiration of her and the way he introduced her was so loving and so full of respect. It was just a wonderful thing to see such a legend respecting someone I admire so much. It was very special.
Yeah. Anybody else that that you highly admire? I'm not sure there are a lot, but, you know, top three maybe, top two?
Oh, there's so
many.
Bucket
list?
A bucket list. Well, they're dropping like flies, I'll tell you. you know, the legends are passing. Someone that was very, very special and important to me was David Bowie. And I did get to see the two tribute shows here in New York City, where a lot of incredible artists came together to pay tribute to him and his music. So I definitely crossed quite a few off the bucket list when I saw that. Michael Stipe did just an unbelievably haunting rendition of Ashes to Ashes that has stayed with me ever since. I carried it with me throughout that whole Wooden Heart tour with John Waite, where I met you. And I kept thinking, like, maybe we should just perform it. Maybe we should perform it tonight. But, you know, there's some performances that you can't touch that are just very special and unique, and they belong with that artist forever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So is there any particular environment or anything that particularly inspires you, any particular time of day, where you are? What inspires you?
Well, the place where inspiration typically likes to strike, I wouldn't say is the most romantic of atmospheres, but the N train in Manhattan connecting Queens to New York. That's typically when it likes to strike, you know, when you don't have a pen and paper. But thank God for iPhones and the voice memo app. That has really saved my life.
Uh-huh.
If I had a dollar for every time I used to be sitting on the subway and all of a sudden be like, that's it. That's the chorus. That's the hook. Wait, no, that's the bridge. Okay, that's the lyric that's going to tie that together. And just jumping off at whatever stop was next, running up to ground level, calling my apartment phone and leaving a voicemail where I'm
I've done that.
Dot, 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 boop, boop. My poor roommate back then was like, what are all the, there's like 30 voicemails of gibberish. What's going on? I'm waiting for a guy to call. What is this?
Oh, that's so good. Well, I love to write poetry, and for me, it's usually at night, you know, late at night or the wee hours of the morning, and my daughter's usually, you know, Mom, when are you going to bed? I'm like, I can't go to bed. I'm feeling creative right now, you know.
Yeah, that is the magic hour for sure.
So, yeah, I think part of that, for me at least, it's very spiritual for me. It's when you're in your quiet time. You know, obviously you can be anywhere. You can be on a noisy train and just see the hustle and bustle of people, and that inspires something. For me, it's just being quiet and just having something speak to you, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
It's when you're open to, I certainly believe that, at least for myself, I'm a channel. I'm just the instrument. Mm-hmm. Something is moving through me, and it's I'm trying to give it to the world the way that it wants to be given. And it's when you're in touch with that and you're open and you're silent and listening is when it really moves through you, no matter where you are.
Oh, absolutely. And then through you, obviously, you know, you're touching others and so on and so on. There's just this kind of never-ending universal effect that it has. And I truly believe that. I think what you have, obviously, is a gift, and people that are artistic like you, or whatever their craft is, that you need to be in touch with that. Don't deny that, because it's obviously what you were created to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, thank you so much. It's very sweet to hear.
Yeah. So, we're going to take a little bit of a station break right now, a very, very brief break. I just want to remind everybody first that Soul Inspirations is brought to you by Atlanta Life Radio. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Leslie DiNicola.
Hey, this is executive producer Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Share us with your friends, like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor, or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
Hey, you're back. This is Christine, KFC with Soul Inspirations Radio. We're talking tonight with Leslie DiNicola. Leslie, hey, so I mentioned earlier your EP, Wake Up, and one of the songs I particularly liked on that was called Keep Your Light. And tell us a little bit about that. Did you write that with Julian Coryell also, I understand?
Yes, he was the producer and co-writer on that track as well. That was a very, very special track that came together. As I mentioned before, Wake Up was a collection of songs written around a time where I was changing and going through a lot of transitions as a person, and a lot was happening, a lot in my universe was affecting me, and this song was a lot about moving through that tunnel, not knowing what's going to be on the other side. And one of the things that was happening was a little boy who I care about very, very much. He was 7 years old at the time, and he was diagnosed with childhood leukemia. And I hopped on the next plane as soon as I heard and flew out to Salt Lake City where he was being treated. And, you know, for those first few days, I remember sitting in that hospital room. It was over New Year's, I believe, 2012 into 2013, and those days, those first 4 days, we really didn't know if he was going to make it. He was very, very sick, and it was a very scary time. And I remember sitting in that hospital room with him and his family and all of his loved ones, and I just had this mantra that kept repeating in my head over and over again, just saying, keep your light, Trip, keep your light. And it was like a rhythm, like a beat that just kept me moving through those 4 days, because my role there, not as a direct family member, was really to keep everyone else going and silently ache for this little boy. And I just kept repeating that to myself just so that I could get through those days. And in the weeks that followed, as he began to go through the very, very long process of healing, it started just naturally developing into a song. And I demoed it and brought it out to L.A. when I went out to record all the songs on Wake Up. And when I played it for Julian, it was one of the ones that he said, this is the most important song on this record. We got to make sure we get this one right. And it was a very special song to work on. It was a very special song to release. And to this day, really, it's one of the ones that I'll always remember creating, and I never get tired of hearing it.
Well, I immediately gravitated towards it. I listened, you know, to every song on every one of your EPs, by the way. I listened to that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, and I immediately gravitated to Keep Your Light, and it's just the melody, the lyrics, everything. They're it is special. I actually, you know, we posted it on our social media tonight, and it's very special. It's haunting. It looks like it was a very I know what you said. The background isn't necessarily a fun context, but the video was awesome. I would say the video looked like it was a great video to produce, and actually the video was amazing.
Thank you so much. Ironically, we filmed that video a year ago today.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, so the video came out after the song was released then. Right?
Yes, it did. We released Wake Up in November 2014, and then the video came out in June of last year.
Okay, yeah, because you look beautiful in that video. You always look beautiful.
Oh,
but
thank you so much.
I love everything about it and the kids in the video, and it's just, it's so sweet, and I just really like it a lot. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Keep Your Light with Leslie DiNicola.
Thank you so much.
Leslie, so that song literally brought me to tears the first time I heard it.
Oh.
And then I know I messaged with you and whatnot, and I said, man, I love that song. It is special, and I just hope everybody, you know, man, that's good. It's really, it's so full of emotion. It makes me think, okay, so the previous song I was thinking about, Alison Krauss, when I hear that, there's so many that I guess I could tie it into, but Kelly Clarkson comes to mind.
Aww.
And as far as maybe contemporary with you, as far as age-wise and that kind of thing, what do you think about her? And then also shows that she would like discovered on those reality shows that give unknowns, you know, an opportunity.
Well, you know, I have been compared to her in the past, and it's something I never get tired of hearing because it's such a huge compliment. I think Kelly Clarkson is a phenomenal singer. I think she's so talented, and I've been a fan of hers since she was on the show, actually. I wasn't a huge American Idol fan, only really because I didn't have a TV for much of American Idol's career, but I did watch that first season. It was I think summertime, and I was taking summer classes, and whatever night it was on, Wednesday night maybe, I don't know, I would get done with my summer class and I would go pick up sour cream chicken enchiladas from El Phoenix in Dallas. I would bring them home, and my mom and I would sit and watch American Idol, and that was our like weekly date together. It was very cute.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember school starting again, and I was like, guys, I discovered this show. It's called American Idol. And they were all like, yeah, we know. We watch it all the time. And I was like, oh, man, I thought I discovered something here.
Right.
But I was a huge fan of hers, and I really just thought she was so and she still is so talented. And you know, the thing that sets her apart from other people in her genre and age bracket is just this very genuine sense of a loving angst. And it's so unique. You know, it's that salty and sweet. It's that rub, that light and dark that is so powerful in art for me. It's like bees to honey for me. I love it. So she's certainly an artist I respect and admire and I'm so honored to be at all compared to, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, not only an artist, but just, wow, what a woman and that she is, how well-rounded, you know, as far as kind of going up and down, like you said earlier in the conversation, it's so hard to be genuine. It's so hard to kind of in this business. And I think she's done it. I think she's done, you know, amazing things for women and just representing that in a good way, you know?
Absolutely. I think she nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I want to ask you, what would be your advice for aspiring artists?
Aspiring artists, male or female, I have to say, no matter what you're trying to do, you have to stay authentic. You have to stay genuine. You know, whatever it is that moves you, you got to stick to it. You got to follow the yeses. When people are telling you no or wanting to change you, it's so important to keep an open mind and be able to take advice. But you really got to listen to yourself and know when that advice is constructive and when it's derailing. And that's a trick that, you know, some people are born with and other people find it harder to be able to tell the difference. But by going through it, you learn, you know, what you need to listen to and what you shouldn't, and you just got to be who you are, and it's really hard, and most people are going to say no, but you got to follow your yes and the yeses that you hear, and you got to put your team together and find the people who really want to help you and can help you, and you have to stay true to yourself above all things. You know, the sad thing is we're in a time where we don't get to just be the artist anymore. We have to be the businessman. We have to be the lawyer. We have to be the accountant. We have to be the boss. We have to be the PR team. We have to be the fashion consultant. We have to do everything ourselves. And never before in the history have the artists had to do all of that. So it's a lot of balls to juggle. And if you can do it, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to have successes on some level. You know, whether it's your dream aspiration to be on the cover of People magazine, I can't promise you, but it is possible to still have a career and be happy with it. You just got to really believe in yourself and have a strong sense of your own identity.
Right, right. So what's been your experience so far? I mean, have you experienced a lot of negativism that you feel you've had to overcome, or more so it's been positive?
You know, there's always more negative than positive, especially in an artistic realm. I think most people, no matter what your job, I don't know what it's like to be down on Wall Street or in real estate, but I certainly believe that adversity is in every profession, and there's more of it than positivity. So I've certainly come up against it plenty, but it just makes those moments when you get the positive experiences, it makes them that much more valuable, and you appreciate them so much. One of the best things that happened to me, I think, as an artist living in Manhattan, I get told to meet managers and booking agents and promoters. You know, you're sent out to go meet these people, and every single time it's disappointing. They tell you all the things you want to hear, and they just turn out to not be the best people. And, you know, it's hard. It's like going on a million OkCupid dates. And you're like,
right.
They're all terrible people. Why am I going through this? But I remember the day that someone told me to go meet for coffee with the gentleman who is now my booking agent. And I remember walking in, patient, and sitting down and knowing immediately, this is my guy. This is a great person who I respect, I admire. I get nothing but yeses from this chemistry that we have. And to this day, he's been one of my most valuable members of my team, and he's the one who set me up with the John Waite tour, and he's done nothing but bring everything I was doing to a much better level.
Wow, that's cool. So who would you say, is there any particular person in your life you probably have several, but a strong mentor that's guided you with your voice and that kind of thing?
I have to say, I mean, I have two angels on my shoulders.
Okay.
Unfortunate, I don't have a devil. I have Julie Flanders, the lyricist for October Project, who has been the most incredible mentor to me since I moved to Manhattan. We met through mutual friends, and she has just taken me under her wing and helped me every step of the way, becoming a young female artist alone in the industry. And on my left shoulder, I have Julian Coriel, who is my producer out in L.A., who was introduced to me through Julie and Emil Adler, the composer for October Project. And he has been my artistic ally since my second EP, and we're about to release my fifth together, and he's been nothing but an incredible, like, big brother who has just fought for me all along and has never let me get away with anything. He knows when I'm slipping into my habits. He knows when I can do better.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when I'm nailing it. He just is there for me every step of the way. So I can't thank them enough, and I can't thank the universe enough for bringing me those two mentors.
Yeah, and isn't that truly, like you said just a minute ago, no matter what your business is, Wall Street, music, you truly, everybody just needs someone. We need to help each other, you
yeah.
know, and encourage one another and lift each other up. And, you know, just, and usually people see in you what you can't see in yourself. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes we're so blinded by our preconceptions of ourselves. And I say this to my girlfriends all the time. You know, we go out to dinners and people have breakups or bad dates or just bad hair days or whatever's going on. You know, we're hard on ourselves. We really speak to ourselves in ways that we would never speak to the people we care about. And I tell my girlfriends that all the time. I just, if there was one gift I could leave behind in this world other than music, I would want everyone to realize and be able to see themselves the way the people who love them see them. Like, if
yeah.
we could actually just have a moment to look through those eyes and see what the world sees, you know, it would be such a life-changing opportunity.
That is so true. It would be life-changing because I think especially with people who are hurting, you know, and you see in them, you see their gifts, you see potential, but they can't see it. And how amazing would it be for them to see what you see? It's just,
yeah.
I love that. I love thinking about that. I love thinking like that. But, well, one thing I did learn about you, kind of, you know, on this topic here in your heart, you do like to give back, and you have a special affection for ocean creatures, and you do support the Wildlife Conservation Society. Tell me all about that. I think there was a fundraiser you attended a few years ago. And how did you get involved with that?
I usually attend a fundraiser. It's a yearly fundraiser. It used to be twice a year, but now it's ever since Hurricane Sandy took out our aquarium here on Coney Island, it's now down to once a year. But I am a member of the Wildlife Conservation Society, and I do support them. And I'm just a huge lover of wildlife and animals in general. I would stop to help an animal probably before a person if I had to choose, but I hope
Oh,
I
you sound like my daughter.
Yeah. I have a very, very big soft spot for animals. So I do what I can. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a modest, humble artist in New York City, but whenever
right.
I do have the opportunity, I do fundraisers for them. And what we do is one of the bigger ones that I make sure I'm always a part of is that every year they do a 5K race through the Bronx Zoo, which is really kind of a very cool event. And it was just last weekend, and I wasn't in town, so I wasn't able to actually attend it this year for the first time, which was heartbreaking. But they choose a different endangered species every year. This year was cheetahs. Last year was elephants. And you join a team, and you raise money, and you raise funds. You get sponsored as a runner, much like the New York Marathon. And they bring you up to the Bronx Zoo before it opens on a Saturday, and the race is actually through the zoo while it's closed. So you get to, like, run past the zebras and the giraffes and the rhinos, and it's a really, like, cool, special thing that we get to look forward to every year. And it used to be on Coney Island as well. You would run through the aquarium and down the boardwalk, but that is currently under construction, probably for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a really cool experience, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. I do hope that if my career continues to flourish, I hope that I'm able to give more.
Yeah, and that is what it's all about. You know, I mean, what's given you is your gift, and then you just perpetuate that by giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I believe. So, and you're obviously doing that, and you're touching audiences all over the globe, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you about, I wanted to mention, we're going to take it back just real quick here.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video of when you performed the national anthem. I think you did back in the day in your early days. I thought this was so cute because the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets kind of, was that a, probably you were very nervous at the time when you did that, weren't you?
It's a funny thing. I miss doing those anthems. It's been a little bit since I've done one, but
uh-huh.
The first one that happened was in 2010. I released my very first EP in New York City, and a woman attended who worked with the Atlanta Braves and just loved the performance, loved the show, loved the record. So she brought me down to Atlanta to sing the national anthem. And they were playing the Mets, I believe, in Atlanta at Turner Field. And I hadn't been back to Atlanta since I was a kid, so it was my first time going back, and it was such an exciting experience. And I've been a Braves fan. I was living in Atlanta when I discovered baseball, so I've been a Braves fan since I was, like, 3. And so it was really, really awesome. And I did the national anthem, and I thought I would be more nervous, but it was actually such a lovely, wonderful experience that I really got to just absorb it and enjoy it, and it was so much fun. And then the Braves brought me to the next game, which was in New York, also playing the Mets, like right before the All-Star break. So I got to do it at Citi Field again. And then from there, other teams started calling me, and I was like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm just going to start doing this all the time. And then I got a call from the New York Rangers asking me to sing at Madison Square Garden, and I was like, okay, that's really cool, but do I have to walk on ice? And that changed everything. Suddenly I was like, I couldn't sleep at night. I was like shaking backstage.
Anxiety.
I was like, so nervous. Everyone that I was friends with used to send me YouTube videos of people walking out on the ice at hockey games and, like, totally biting it, or, like,
uh-huh.
starting the national anthem and then slipping, like, halfway through and falling on their butts. I was like, why are you guys sending me these videos? You're the worst friends ever.
Oh, my God.
So
well,
that's
know,
when fear set in.
Well, you know, I bring that up because I'm trying to come full circle here, because I know that happened, you know, in the early stages of your career. And, you know, it's kind of, life is sometimes comes full circle, you know, and it's about not forgetting about where you came from and the humble beginnings and the people who were there helping you at the time. And I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was cool. I saw that on YouTube, and I was just, wow, this is so cool. You know, I'm one of these people. I can never listen to the national anthem without crying.
Oh yeah,
it's a pretty powerful ballad.
and I tell you, you belted that thing out. You belted out. You really did a phenomenal job. We're kind of getting to the end of our interview here. Tell us about, you just mentioned you're going to be releasing a new EP. Now, you just released the single, Boy and Girl. What's the new EP, and when's that coming out?
The new EP is a secret title, and it certainly doesn't have to do with the fact that I haven't chosen one yet. But it will be released at some point this summer. We don't have an exact date yet, but it will certainly be available before I rejoin Tom Waite. John Waite. Tom Waits is another influence, by the way.
That's okay.
I grew up listening to those records big time, and I'm actually looking at one of his vinyls in my corner right now.
Our apologies, John.
But yes, before I rejoin the Wooden Heart Tour as an opening act, I will have definitely released the new EP by then, and Boy and Girl will certainly be on it. It's 5 songs, and only a couple of them are heartbreak songs, so don't worry. You don't need a full box of tissues. You can do one of the little Kleenex packets.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm really excited about it, and I'll be finishing it up actually in the next couple weeks, and it'll be off to mastering and new production. It'll be out of my hands. My little baby is going to be going to college. excited to share that.
Very cool. And quickly, tell everybody how they can hook up with you, where they can find you, tour information, your music, before we sign off.
Oh, absolutely. Everything that you could possibly need to know or need a link to is definitely on my website, LeslieDiNicola.com. And if you're a Facebook person, that's where I am. If you're a Twitter person, I'm there. Instagram, everything's under Leslie DiNicola, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. There's any place you look for music, I'm there. And I definitely have everything. All the tour dates will be listed on my website. Merch is for sale there, T-shirts, tote bags, anything that you could possibly want.
Okay, I've got my merch. I'm actually looking at it right now. I've got my Wake Up, and I've got my live Rockwood Music Hall in New York City.
Oh.
And I've got my bottle, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you got one.
which you know about. So anyway, Leslie, it has been just so genuinely awesome to talk with you tonight. And I really want to thank you for, you know, taking the time for the interview and racing to get home in the bad weather you've got up there. And hopefully, you know, I look forward to seeing you on tour sometime again soon. Okay?
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you so much. This was an absolute joy.
Okay. Hey, everybody, that wraps up another week, Soul Inspirations, Music, Magic, and Message. I'm your host, Christine KFC, reminding you that this broadcast of Soul Inspirations will be available as podcast on Atlanta Life Radio's iTunes podcast station. So please go there and subscribe. Till next week, I encourage you to look no further than your own backyard, that inspiration is all around you, and it's in you, most importantly. It's what I call living your life in the KFC. Thank you.